Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Runner's World podcast with me, Rick Pearson.
Me, Ben Hobson.
And me, Jane Maguire.
Oh! What, you left?
She's back.
We're just giving the people what they want, Rick. Just giving the people what they want.
100%. There was like a helpline set up when you announced you were leaving. It's like when Take That broke up, which
really
I was devastated about, obviously.
Some of the comments were a little bit cutting towards you and I, Rick, to be honest.
But you know. Was it someone said, without Jane, it's just 230-something males talking about their running, or we've got enough of that?
Which is fair.
That's harsh, isn't it?
Harsh, but fair.
A harsh but true pill to swallow, guys. So come back to help you out for a bit.
What has drawn you back, Jane? Would you like to tell us what kind of lured you back onto the podcast?
Well, just the great chat, the fun times, the interesting people, and the fact that I had a few comments. I did a 16-mile run yesterday. I'm pretty proud of. And people are like, oh, I thought you didn't have to do that anymore. Now you've left Runner's World. I'm like, no. This wasn't just a big character I'd created for my job. So just want to prove the haters wrong.
Such commitment to the role that you decided to drag yourself around.
Just ran three marathons just because I wanted to get paid at the end of the month.
But you are in training now, Jane, aren't you? You've got... What, you got two marathons coming up?
I've got TBC. I've got two, and I think I'll either pick one or run both, or
neither. Not neither.
That's not an option.
We were briefly chatting before, which the listeners won't have heard, where I've said I think my plan is to run London as well as I possibly can. And then to run walk Chicago, which is 7 days later. 7 days and a long haul flight later.
Hey, look what Craig David achieved in 7 days.
I know. He is my inspiration.
So
in fairness, a marathon doesn't feature on that song. So
yeah. From Wednesday onwards, he was pretty busy.
I don't know if it's a mad plan or a great one.
I think that
two
great cities. Chicago's meant to be amazing, so there's always that.
Yeah,
I think it's you do.
And I think one of my favourite races ever was the Brooklyn Half, which was two weeks after London Marathon, and I ran walked that, and it was favourite race I've ever done. Oh. You've taken so much more.
Marathon is twice as far, double the fun. There you go.
Fair play.
How's your knee, Rick?
It's not healing very quickly. I'm not in constant pain with it, but yeah, I think I'm having to just reassess how long this is going to take. So I don't think I'm going to be back running properly until like October, probably.
Nice.
So it's not like, in the grand scheme of things, it's not that long. But yeah, it's certainly longest I've had off from running. I've had an MRI, I haven't got the results back yet. But I mean, to be honest, I can do a lot of other things. So I can walk as far as I want, really. So went for a long walk on Saturday, probably walks about 8 miles, which obviously doesn't seem long in long run terms, but actually it's kind of equivalent in time. So you're kind of out for like 2 hours or whatever. And
you walked 8 miles in 2 hours?
Yeah, I was trying to walk quickly.
That's a quick walk.
Yeah, I think... from a health perspective, there's quite a profound difference between quick and slow walking.
Yeah.
Not only because it's more aerobic, but actually the load you put through your body walking quickly is quite a lot higher than what you'd go if you're just strolling. So yes, I kind of I went with a mate, but
that's,
it was kind
that's
of
that's a power walk, right?
Yeah, I'm power walking. I'm power walking around South London with a bag as well, with a heavy bag.
Why don't you get some ankle weights and some hand weights?
Oh my goodness, yeah.
And a sweatband.
Nah, poles. Straight to the poles. Just straight on with some walking poles. Just
it's only
about
charging around.
What about swimming? Can you swim?
Can swim. Yeah, I've been getting in Beckenham Place Park Pond, which is like just like a little lake now and again.
Oh, just wild swimming.
Just some wild swimming.
Okay.
So yeah, and I've got my bike back, which I haven't been on for a couple of years. So there's no excuse really for not doing aerobic exercise. It's just going to be different to the aerobic exercise that I really love. But that's for a little bit of time.
Sometimes
okay.
It makes you love it more, Rick.
100%. 100%. And maybe it makes, I think I maybe have reassessed a little bit of my running. I feel like it's probably something I feel like I've been kind of training, like in some ways, for like almost 10 years and not always with an end goal in sight, like not always like training for a marathon. It's like kind of feeling like I have to, on some level, run a certain amount a week because I think it's sort of tied up in my identity as a runner. Mm. And I'm not sure actually that's always been the right approach. And I haven't missed running as much as I thought I would. And I think that's possibly telling in some ways that maybe I was just sort of flogging myself a bit.
A bit done.
Yeah.
Well, it's good to have a break then.
Right. Well, how about yourself, Benjamin? What have you been doing running-wise?
Just going out and doing some running. I just enjoying it. Still just plodding away. No races. That's it.
Well, today we're talking about CBD, the kind of very in vogue product that promises many things. And Kate Carter, who've had on podcast a few times before, she's written a piece for it for Runner's World magazine coming out in a month or so, and it's really interesting, and we thought we'd get her on the show to just tell us a little bit more about what she discovered. So I think we should get her on.
Yeah, let's do it.
Guest of the week here in the studio. Guest of the week sometimes on the phone. Could be an athlete, could be a physio, or a complete unknown.
It promises to enhance our sleep, ease our aches and boost our recovery. But is CBD really a miracle molecule for runners? Writer and runner Kate Carter investigated this for Runner's World. And here she is. Tell us what she discovered. Kate, welcome to the Runner's World podcast.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
So I think CBD is very in vogue, but it's actually not new, is it? These kind of cannabis-derived medicines have been around for ages.
Yeah, I mean, almost millennia, basically. If you look back in history, there's sort of, since we first have written records of anything, people have been using marijuana in some form or other for aches and pains and so on. There's like Egyptian cult evidence all through the kind of ancient Middle Eastern civilizations. I mean, it's just that it's been around for absolutely ages.
I mean, much like any sort of like traditional medicine, it's just that unfortunately it sort of got thrown in with the illegal stuff, didn't it? So I mean, that's kind of
yeah, well, I suppose they were also, so I mean, that was marijuana rather than a bit of marijuana, which is obviously what CBD is. So I guess that's what's new, is that we are now able to kind of take it apart and use only bits of it. So CBD is just one of, you know, a lot of different things that make up marijuana, some of which is definitely not that great.
Is it legal and will it get you high? Is it addictive?
So CBD is legal and has been legal for sort of in this country as a kind of, it's actually kind of technically a food additive, I think, rather than a medicine. And it's been legal for a while. It is not addictive. You cannot get addicted to CBD and you cannot get a high out of it. So if anyone says, oh yeah, I took CBD and I felt amazing, it's like, yeah, that was not that.
That was something else.
CBD.
You took something else.
That was maybe the other stuff you've been taking. So CBD is a cannabinoid, and marijuana has hundreds of different cannabinoids in it. We're still apparently discovering them all the time. It's incredibly kind of new science almost. The one that kind of has that gives you the high, that has the kind of psychoactive effect, is THC. So that you can, you become addicted to, you can, it can have, you know, sort of worse side effects. So that's the bit that's completely sort of separate and that you do not want to have any kind of cross-contamination with, basically. But CBD is very, very safe. The World Health Organization and stuff have said, yeah, it's an extremely safe thing to take. So, and just as a safety thing, I wouldn't have any issues with it whatsoever.
Right.
And what does it actually do then? So, I mean, because it claims to solve most things, but I mean, how does?
Yeah. I mean.
Yeah. World peace.
Absolutely. I wouldn't be surprised if someone had claimed that. If we all took more of it, maybe it would. Yeah. I don't know. basically, it's really tricky to answer that because the science, even though it's obviously been around for quite a long time, and I think CBD itself has been kind of isolated for quite a few decades now, the science hasn't really done a huge amount on it because, I mean, you think it's only legal in this country now as a sort of thing that you could buy in Boots the Chemist or whatever for a few years. And the same problems that you or I might have wanted to get it before that, even though it turns out to be safe, happened to scientists as well. So they haven't really been able to access a good supply of it, a good pure supply of it to test things on. It's still the case, actually. And when I was writing the article, I had a long conversation with a great researcher in Australia who specializes in it. And it's still actually, it's not legal yet in Australia. Right. So she's still, like her research unit, obviously they can get hold of it, but it's a lot more complicated when it's not kind of, you can't just pop into the shops and get a supply of it. So we're still like learning a huge amount about it. And most of the experiments so far, the tests and so on, have been on, mice, basically mice and rats. There's a lot of very happy mice.
Very relaxed.
I think. Yeah. Yeah, very relaxed. Yeah. But obviously, I am not condoning animal testing. I'm vegetarian, so I just like to put that out there.
Important.
don't write in. Yeah. But that's what we kind of know about it. It's mostly from rat and mice models. So, and obviously all the things that it does in mice and rats may not happen in humans. Mm. But there are some amazing kind of, it is genuinely fascinating and interesting what they have discovered in some of these experiments about what it can do. It's just that it's really early to say anything definitive when it comes to humans.
Is there any sort of like pick up on the fact that certainly I'd say a lot of amateur sports people have been now consuming it at a rate of knots because it's, you know, promises so much. Has there been any follow-up on that? Is there sort of like findings that it's actually from clinical trials of people who've been using it a lot?
Not specifically. So the researcher I mentioned in Australia, she wrote a big review about all the evidence we know so far about its use in sport specifically. So she then they broke that down into kind of different areas of sport. So obviously you're looking at kind of muscle recovery or regeneration. You're looking at improving sleep, which is obviously important for everybody, but perhaps more even for elite athletes and so on. And you're looking at kind of stress and performance anxiety and things like that. So sort of she broke it down into all those areas and what we know in each of those areas. And I think the only area in which there's real kind of promising human data so far and I don't think it's from athletes, it's just from general humans, is in the kind of area of anxiety and anxiety disorders and so on. And it seems to be really promising there in the sort of treatment of those. So a lot of the stuff that's then said about it is that one of the kind of most common things that people take it for is for sleep, to try and improve the quality of their sleep. If it works, then it may be because it does seem to have a good efficacy when it comes to anxiety and anxiety issues. So if your sleep disorder or your difficulties with sleep are because of anxiety, then yes, it could potentially help. But if your difficulties in sleep are just because, you know, just insomnia or other issues, or you are on a screen too late or you're stressed or whatever, then there's not much evidence so far really either way, but certainly that it can help.
You can take this stuff, Kate, in loads of different ways, right? As well, there's tablets, teas. I think there's a vaping pen now, and there are lotions. From looking into it, how do you think runners might best use CBD products?
Well, unfortunately, there's another kind of everything when it comes to CBD is we need to know more, we need to experiment more, but one of the things I was very skeptical at first about the fact that you can get it in everything. Obviously, as you say, you can get it in oil drops, in tablets or capsules, whatever, in ice cream. You can get it in toothpaste. You can get it. And the thing that made me really like it, just felt really unlikely, was the kind of the muscle rubs and things like that. Mm. I was like, I mean, how much of there's this much of the balm in a pot? In that whole pot, there is usually on the label, it'll say, I don't know, like 1,000 milligrams or whatever CBD. That's what's in the entire pot. So if you're taking one scoop and rubbing it on the leg, how much CBD can possibly then be getting into your system? So I was like, is anything getting in? And it turns, I mean, I think there is possibly some evidence that it isn't one of these things that you have to necessarily kind of ingest for an order. It could go directly into muscles and so on and something, you know. But again, we don't really know. So I think the kind of hierarchy is that the I spoke to someone else who said, well, the most efficient way to get it into your body would be vaping, basically. But, right. you know, we don't really want to encourage people to do that. So after that, the hierarchy would probably be the drops, because you put them under your tongue, and that's like they call it sublingually. So that kind of more directly goes into your bloodstream or whatever the system is. After that, it would be the kind of capsules. And then after that, it would be kind of any other form of balm or so on. Although the ice cream thing, I shot up with that, and I was like, oh, come on. But the Australian researcher did point out that one of the ways it's supposed to help absorption of CBD is if you take it with something that's high fat. Mm. So she was like, if it's really creamy ice cream, maybe that's good.
There you go. Perfect.
Excuse to eat more ice cream.
I've always been incredibly cynical about any balm that contains something, because of the way that the skin behaves and that you can't absorb anything really to, like, your skin. A muscle rub is great because it helps blood flow. That's always been how a muscle rub works. So the CBD stuff like that, but I do use the drops under the tongue, and
I didn't realize you were a user.
I'm a drug person.
well, what do you think? What's been your own experience of it?
I think it's, and we'll get into sort of like brands and sort of ratings and volume of dose and all those sorts of things. But some I found like actually genuinely effective in terms of relaxing and not sort of like a cure-all of anything really, but just kind of like a nice addition to the things that might help you. And then some of it's just been completely just like, I could have done without it and it made no difference. So I think it's sort of like the product itself and the manufacturer and what they're doing and sort of all those sorts of things. But I've had some genuinely positive, like, oh yeah, I think that has helped. And then the other stuff has just been like, I could drink this whole bottle and probably, and that sort of thing, but don't do that.
I mean, the thing is, some of it may be placebo, like, you know, if you kind of have a bedtime ritual where you like, okay, screens off, blah, 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 do the thing, CBD or go to bed. And if it works, it doesn't really matter that it's a placebo, that it works, right? I mean, it's just, it could be quite an expensive placebo. But,
oh my God, yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I spoke to Tom Craggs, who you guys know from Runners World Coach and so on. And he was saying basically like, sure, if you've got the money, go and try it to help your sleep and everything. But like, there are so many things that we can do to help our sleep that we don't do, which is the whole kind of the sleep hygiene thing with screens and making sure there's nothing in the room that, you know, noise, all that kind of stuff is like a kind of, because sleep is the thing that is the most that we can, all of us can benefit from the most by sort of tweaking it or whatever. So it's like a kind of most marginal gains when we should all be working on the kind of the basics essentially.
Mine was always done very much in an experimental, unfortunate position where someone had sent some in. So it was for free, so I absolutely had it, much like everything else it applies. So I don't discredit it straight away, for sure. I think, and that happens happens quite a lot with the sort of snake oil world of supplementation.
Yeah, I mean, what was really interesting talking to people about it was that everyone was very keen to say we need to know a lot more about this, but compared to a lot of other things in which we could say the same, it does seem genuinely incredibly interesting and promising what it does. And it is really safe. So from that point of view, it's, you know, there are a lot worse things you could take for sure.
Do you get a sense, Kate, that it's that kind of elite athletes are taking CBD, or do you think it's something that kind of exists mainly among you know, amateurs and maybe on Instagram, that kind of thing.
Well, this is interesting because one of the problems of taking it from an elite athlete point of view is that if you have any contamination from THC, that will test as you'll fail a drugs test, basically.
Okay.
And that's obviously a massive issue for elite athletes in a way that it's just not for us.
Yeah,
I mean, we're talking about a tiny, 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 tiny trace of THC, not enough to, you know, probably do anything to you whatsoever, but enough to trigger a positive test. So that's a lot of elite athletes kind of might steer clear of it for that reason alone, not because they're not maybe interested in trying it out from a sort of lifestyle point of view.
Yeah.
But yeah, so and that the problem with that is that there are lots of brands that are perhaps less stringent about making sure that doesn't happen. And so I think there have been, I have seen elite athletes who do take it. There's a few in America, certainly. But the sort of sports scientists I spoke to were like, I would say to elite athletes, like, maybe wait a bit and see kind of when we can get sort of proper, because it's not one of the, so, you know, Informed Sport are the people who test all, like, you know, sort of gels and supplements and anything. So they test stuff. They can test every batch, and then the athlete can know that is absolutely as clean as they can get it to be. But Informed Sport don't test CBD products at all. There are some labs that do, and those labs are, you know, very, you know, good, credible things. But it's not all kind of one body doing it all. That may change, and if that changes, that would probably be helpful to athletes.
I do know, looking at, because I read about this or looked into it before, I think that also, like, it's important that the plants that people are using to manufacture this stuff for it to be legally grown in the UK, it has to have a 0.5% THC, like below 0.5% THC as that plant. So it's not like people are going and buying like ridiculous weed and trying to then extract CBD from it. No, the plant itself is like a technically sort of, it's like a can of Shandy Bass kind of CBD plant, if you see what I mean. Like, it's that sort of, so but that still doesn't mean, but it's not that regulated. Even that 0.5% is still the thing
that would be enough to trigger a positive drugs test. That's the problem. It's not like a kind of massive addiction issue. It's just that it would be a problem for elite athletes.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
And how closely is it regulated? Like, if you were going to go out and buy some, could anyone make it, or are there some brands that are better?
So the picture's changing in the UK. So I think when we were still in the EU, we signed up to the Novel Foods Act, which is sort of, I think, was originally EU legislation. Someone, I'm sure, will correct me on this, but we're still sort of part of it. So, and CBD got classified as a novel food. It's basically kind of like a invented thing, essentially, that hasn't been regulated before because it's new. So as part of that, all CBD manufacturers have to submit their you know, for products and so on for approval. That the deadline for that was quite recent. It's passed, and the whole process is being gone through. You're allowed to, as part of that, all brands are allowed to keep their stuff on the shelf until it's either pulled or approved. So it doesn't, right. If it's on the shelf now, you can't necessarily, certainly by looking at it, you don't necessarily know. But that process should hopefully clean up a lot of, you know, what the one of the sports scientists I spoke to referred to as the cowboys of the industry, who perhaps don't, you know, care much about the purity of the product. They're just pushing it out. And there are, so there are lots of, you know, really reputable brands who are definitely, you know, doing everything they can to make their product as pure as they can. So it's not that they're, you know, there's lots of rubbish out there, but maybe for the next sort of year or so, I'm not quite sure when the kind of deadline is, it's sort of worth checking. And it's worth checking, if you're going to buy a brand, it's worth checking their website, seeing what they say about how their product is tested. Again, I mean, because I guess it's not just elite athletes, right? There's lots of people who might want to avoid any trace of THC for other reasons. And, you know, they might want to just check the website and see how the product is tested. And you basically want them to have 0% tolerance for THC rather than under 0.something percent.
Maybe it's got some in it. Who knows? Enjoy.
Exactly. You do.
Enjoy.
But it's interesting what you said about how it's grown, like, to have, you know, different proportions of CBD and THC. Because there was this amazing study that I read that basically, if you take marijuana, I think, as a whole entity, until a few decades ago, the stuff that you would take, the kind of balance of CBD and THC seemed to do something in the brain that almost cancelled each other out. So the sort of it kind of was sort of in balance, but because you know,
people,
because of the drug trade and so on, because people they sort of started breeding strains of cannabis that had incredibly high THC compared to CBD, and that's one of the reasons why it's stronger. Is because of the, it's just that, but it's not so even that it's just more THC, it's also that there's less CBD. So it's kind of I find that quite interesting as a kind of, compared to the sort of, I don't know, the marijuana people might have been smoking in the 60s or something, it's actually really different.
Can we talk about the pain relief properties? Because I remember a few years ago when there were some headlines in the ultra running world and saying actually some of the pain relief you can get from marijuana in states in the US where it was legal meant that it was kind of finding its way into ultra racist. Is there any evidence surrounding CBD and sort of pain relief? Because that does feel like it would be a very sort of runner specific quality if it was true.
Yeah, I think that one is really unproven. Partly because pain is incredibly difficult to study, because there's, like, you know, 16,000 different types of pain, and it's really hard to sort of separate it from what the problem is. And therefore, so, like, it was, again, Nicole, the Australian researcher would say, the trouble is if you study a big population of people who are having pain, you've then also got all the other drugs that they're on, all the other interactions that are taking place. So it's incredibly hard to study by itself as opposed to pain from a specific thing.
Okay.
So that one is really hard to say. It doesn't seem like there's strong evidence so far, but it is in, you know, as I say, it's kind of all in mice. So it's kind of, you know, making mice run ultra marathons and then testing them. I don't know.
Yeah.
How about the muscle regeneration side of things?
Yeah, that's so interesting, because that, again, that's incredibly early research, but it's incredible what it seems to do in muscle regeneration. And that seems to be something that may even not have to, like we were talking about, kind of through the skin and stuff, it may be that there's an effect there as well, that it's sort of almost a possible topical thing that you could do. But again, incredibly early sort of stages of it. And another thing was sort of, it's interesting, and sort of haven't mentioned, is the dosage thing. Because that's something that hasn't really been studied, because obviously when you're doing mice models or whatever, that you know, mice are that big and you're going to give them a tiny amount, and then humans big. The dosage thing is interesting, because some of the things you get over the counter have such a low amount in them that it's hard to believe they would have any effect at all. But we seem to be able to safely go to quite a high dose. So, you know, when they're all kind of, when this all kind of became headlines was obviously when a lot of cases of like children with severe epilepsy, and then the parents were like trying to get it sort of legalized so that the children could try incredibly high doses of CBD, because that does seem to have an amazing effect on sort of severe epilepsy. And that dose is astronomically higher than anything you can possibly buy from the shops. But it still seems to be pretty safe for a human being. So the range seems to be so big, and we haven't really worked out what it is that the different dosages might be for different applications, whether it's sleep or pain or whatever.
Every bottle that I've had has basically been like, regardless of like the actual volume within the product, so you can get 1,000 all the way to 5,000, and it just says take X number of drops or you know, 1 milliliter whenever you want. It's not like paracetamol, like four times a day. It's literally just like, just have it whenever you want it. Yeah. Go, so it's really like, that's it's so vague, it's unreal.
It is, but that's partly, I think, because they're not allowed to market it as a medicine. So it's sort of like, you know, it's just a food additive or whatever. But no, it's interesting, isn't it? I think I've got some, like, because, yeah, it'll say something like 1,500 milligram CBD. And then, like, some good, I mean, actually, this is a good example. This is like a Pure Sports one. And they actually do say, this is how much there is in the bottle. There are 600 drops in the bottle. So you can, if you want to, work out what you're getting per drop. But a lot of them don't do that. They just sort of say, this is what it is. And it's almost like, you know, you could be forgiven thinking that's how much there is in each drop. Because like if you buy paracetamol or whatever, and it says 500 milligrams, it means per capsule or whatever it is. It doesn't mean in the entire packet. Whereas CBD, it's not done like that. It's done in, this is how much there is in the entire bottle. So you have to do some mental maths to figure it out.
I remember when we commissioned you for this, Kate, I thought this will probably end up being a bit of a roast of CBD. Like, you'll find that it's got like very little going for it, and it's all a kind of bit of a snake oil thing. But having read your article, I think there's a kind of cautious optimism to it. I wonder if you were actually surprised by how good CBD might be.
Yes, totally. Totally surprised. I mean, I kind of thought it would be the same. I thought there would be like, well, there are certain medical uses, like we talk about epilepsy and kids and stuff, and like, it, you know, but for the rest of us, it's just, you know, you might as well take turmeric or something.
I thought
it would be like that, but it does seem, I mean, with all the provisos I keep saying about how we need to do more research and stuff, what research there is so interesting. And it does, it's an incredible thing that there is this plant that seems to produce these things that interact with our brain in a way that like almost nothing else does.
Yeah.
And I do think there's a huge amount of optimism. It may not be that the results are, the applications are what we currently think they might be, but there is clearly a huge amount to be learned about it and some really promising research. And I was really surprised by the, when I spoke to the sort of various doctors and sports scientists about it, how soon they think we'll know a lot more. Because I've written, you know, big sort of sciencey subjects before, and I wrote a piece for you guys a while ago about the brain. And I remember talking to a scientist about how soon do you think we'll know more about what goes in on the brain in this area and so on. And he was like, oh, you know, maybe in 20 years when we've developed different imaging techniques and all the rest of it, you know, it's kind of that time scale.
Yeah, yeah.
But for this, you know, everyone I spoke to said, I think we're going to know a huge amount more in 5 years. And in 10 years, it'll be transformed. So it feels quite soon, you know?
Did you experience or sort of notice any stigma with it when you were like researching it because of the association with marijuana and it's been a derivative of that? Was that sort of something that, I mean, it's from an athlete point of view, obviously there's a cautionary side to it, but was it more of a, you know, absolutely would never do that because it's literally from a, you know, the cannabis plant?
I didn't come across that, but I mean, I did still sort of see the bit of sort of giggly thing of like, oh, I'm going to get high on it. You know, that sort of no, you won't. So a bit of that, I think, not from people necessarily who were horrified by the idea, to be honest. Quite a good idea. But no, I didn't see too much of that. And I think, you know, partly it's because the fact that it's now, I think, in sort of Boots and Holland and Barrett and, you know, all kind of high street stores, I think that gives people a sort of confidence that there isn't anything illicit about it, and that some of the brands who are sort of doing it well are, you know, they're marketing it and showing it in a very sort of you know, kind of clean yeah. way that makes it clear that it is not a kind of dodgy, yeah, yeah. you know.
Yeah.
Whereas, I mean, some of the kind of products are, you know, with a picture of hemp on it in a sort of murky colour. Yeah. And it's a bit like, yeah, it's kind of a, very much yeah, a sort yeah. of image that some brands are probably trying to get away from.
And have you used it in your own routine running? And will you carry on once this article's done?
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely, like, as I say, because it's, as Ben says, you get sent it, you don't have to pay for it. You know, it is quite expensive. So I'm not sure I would go out and buy, you know, £60-70 yeah. bottle of it if I ran out. But I have been trying it, and I certainly haven't, you know, I don't know, maybe I've been sleeping a bit better recently anyway. Is it related? I doubt it, but, you know, yeah, why yeah. not? And I do like, I mean, it was like you're saying about the muscle rubs and things. Like, obviously, a lot of that is just self-massage. It's just like, it's good because you've got a knot in your calf and you massage it, and it's good. That's going to help. The fact that there's a balm as well may or may not be connected with that. But I do quite like the one that I've got from, I think it's from a Pure Sports one. Yeah, I'm kind of enjoying using that. So I'd certainly carry on with that.
Cautious optimism, Kate. That's what we're going with. That's
yes.
what we're going with.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I mean, but there is like that undeniable science about like how the brain interacts with you know, cannabinoids and sort of like that there's actually almost like receptors in the brain which are ideally matched to them.
Yes, it's extraordinary. Not just
like, yeah, like that is undeniably why this is such an interesting product.
Yeah, yeah. And it seems to be that, and then that there's that whole kind of endocannabinoid system that we have, that sort of interaction. But it seems like there's maybe other interactions going on that we haven't even started to sort of discover as well, just been kind of hinted at in experiments. So, yeah, there's so much to learn. And as you say, it's incredible that there is this plant that produces this thing that just happens to match the receptors in our brain. I mean, it's like, it's extraordinary.
Kate, thanks so much for your time coming on the Run As Well podcast to talk about CBD. I think, yeah, really fascinating subject, and it sounds like we're kind of only at the tip of the iceberg as far as actually knowing exactly what it does.
Definitely, yeah.
So that brings us to the end of this week's Run As Well podcast. A big thanks to our guest, Kate Carter, and to you, of course, for listening.
If you are not a subscriber to the magazine, well, you are missing out on a whole heap of fun. So subscribe to 3 issues of Runner's World for just £5. Head to hearstmagazines.co.uk/runnersworldpodcast to get this exclusive listener offer.
You can listen to Runner's World UK podcast on Acast, iTunes, and all your favourite podcast apps. Just search Runner's World UK and please do click subscribe. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.